We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake up!
Now, you guys really are like the hip hop early morning, late night talk show.
Breakfast Club is the most powerful, popular urban radio show in America.
Live from the Black Mothership in New York City, it's DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God.
It's different, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all know what y'all talking about.
Thank you, y'all. Be blessed, I love y'all.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
So I'm always nervous when I do the Breakfast Club because sometimes you say stuff and it's just gonna get you in trouble.
Everybody, wait.
Hey. Yo, Charlamagne, Envy, what up? Are we live?
This is your time to get it off your chest.
I got an indoor pool, an outdoor pool.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
We can get on the phone right now. He'll tell you what it is.
We live?
Hello, who's this?
Hello. Yo, what up, DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God, and the beautiful lady that y'all got up there.
Good morning. My name is
Ayanna from San Antonio, Countdown City in Texas.
What up, Ayanna? Get it off your chest.
First of all, I want to say thank you for giving us knowledge for investing, and Uncle Charlotte for all the information he gives me on mental health, because that's put me in a good position that I'm in now.
That's great.
What I want to get off my chest is I'm tired of this job. I'm a truck driver, and I'm tired of this job because I've been working for like a year trying to get my raise. I finally get my raise, and then they cut my hours.
Damn.
So I'm like out here struggling, but we're going to make it work.
All right. You in that truck now, brother?
Nah, I'm not in the truck right now. I actually just got off, but I wish I was so I could give you blow the horn for you. You know what I mean?
There you go.
But I wanted to know, y'all, if I can get like a signed copy of y'all's book.
Yeah, of course.
I got you. I don't have any more of mine up here right now, but I do have State of Emergency by Tamika Mallory and Anita Kopacz by Shallow Waters. Those are both off my book imprint, Black Privilege Publishing. I'll send you those.
So, for sure. And if y'all can sign it for me, I already got shook one. I just would appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll get him out to you. Hold on, okay? Hello, who's this?
This is Kayla from Atlanta.
Hey, Kayla from the ATL. Get it off your chest, mama.
This one is for Charlamagne.
Hi.
I just want to say a huge you to Natalie Nunn for the way she talked about you on her live that day. I've been waiting a minute to talk about this because I didn't like it. She can't compete where she cannot compare. what you have done for your community and for your people is on a whole nother level, and she could never even compare to you, and it really makes me mad.
Well, thank you. I just, you know, I'm just happy to be here. Thank you. God is good all the time. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. DJ Envy, don't sweat that that you say about you. I with you hard, body.
All right. Thank you, Kayla.
Thank you, Kayla.
Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you, Kayla.
All righty, Kayla. You got to love Kayla, right? Get it off your chest. Hello?
This is Tootie from Detroit.
Hey, Tootie. What up, doe?
Hey, yeah. So I wanted to get off my chest about this money this government always come out. They running out of. How is that possible when all they have to do is keep making more money? Like, and then when they say they owe, who do they owe? Like, how do you owe something? Like, I'm thinking it's going to be sitting all in a room somewhere if everybody give all the money back.
I don't know what you're talking about this morning, man. What are you talking about exactly?
Like, she said, how can we owe money when we can just print money?
They keep saying the deficit is going up and up. Like, when I was in middle school, they used to say, we all owe your kids. Oh, how we all owe something that we ain't borrowed yet? Or who are you borrowing it from?
Oh, you mean like America's in debt? The U.S. owes
Yes. Like, who is they borrowing this money from?
I have no idea. That's not my lane. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I know the U.S. government spends more money than it generates. So that's why the national debt keeps rising.
Yes, that's what I mean. How do the national debt? So who are we supposed to pay all this money back to? Like, let's say everybody paid all the money back. Where's the money going to be at?
Where's the money going to be
bank?
At?
Yeah, in a bank, in a room, or where it's going to be at? Who gives permission to, like, how they get... Oh, yeah, and another thing, this is what I really wanted to say about the Constitution.
It's something with the U.S. Treasury Department.
Rewritten.
Why don't you Google
it? I think the Constitution needs 55 new people to write it over.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
So, and that was back in 17, whatever time. It's like, it's new people and new colors of people we need. 55. Now, how can we get a petition going on to do that?
Now, I definitely agree with that. I definitely think the Constitution needs to be updated tremendously.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's a new day.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Wake up.
Whether you're mad or blessed.
It's time to get up and get something.
Call up now. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Too Tall from Detroit.
Too Tall
How
from
tall
Detroit.
Are you, Too Tall?
Yes, sir. What's going on? Charlotte, what's going on? DJ M.
What's your actual height, Too Tall?
Yeah, how tall are you?
Man, I'm 6'8", man. You know what I'm saying? So we standing tall around this spot.
Okay, 6'8".
And you can't play no basketball, huh?
Man, sure, I played when I was younger, man. But everybody asked me, why you don't play basketball? I'm like, man, I'm getting ready some other way. I don't got to run up
the
basketball.
Nah, you just tell them the truth. I'm trash. I'm tall and trash on the basketball court. It's okay.
Yeah, for sure, man. But y'all want to get off my chest, man. I don't know what the world coming to, man. Messing with Cash Money, Drake, and Birdman, and all that. Drewski, and especially BG, man. BG a legend. If people talking about you looking zesty and stuff, I don't know what the world coming to, man. They better leave Cash Money Records over there alone, man. But them boys get on that New Orleans Magnolia Third World type stuff. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, Drewski's playing, bro. Those are skits and sketches. He's a comedian.
Man, you think Birdman taking it like that? Cause Birdman,
yes.
He ain't playing.
Man, Birdman is on the joke. Yes, Birdman is in on the joke. Everybody forget when Birdman and Drewski did that Instagram live together. Birdman is clearly in on the joke, bro.
Ah, man, all right. That went over my head. Well, then BG then, man. What's up that you talk about my man BG, man? He a gangster, man. A living legend. They better put some respect on his name, man.
When you say they, you do realize you're just talking about a bunch of random commenters on the internet, right?
Man, but the comments on the internet, the online stuff, you know, people taking it wrong with it, man. And you know what I'm saying? BG just coming out. He got kids and family and all that stuff online. Talking about he's zesty. Man, he's a gangster, man. And bro, I don't know what these young people...
Bro, you gotta stop looking into these Instagram commenters, bro.
I cannot wait until y'all just put the phones down and stop worrying about what a bunch of strangers who don't know y'all say about y'all.
I'm sure BG don't care about people with no face talking about him. That man just came home.
He's just happy to be home.
He's celebrating with his family. He about to get in the studio, get to some more music. I don't think he cares. Salute to BG.
Fact. And one more thing. Hey, Charlotte, have you ever made up with Lil Mama, man, for calling her and you for the struggle
Jesus face? Christ.
Man, y'all, listen, Lil Mama has been on Breakfast Club like 5 times since then.
That's
13 years ago, man. Like, literally.
All right, man.
Yes.
That's good, brother. That's good, man. It's a pleasure being out here with y'all. It's hard to get through to y'all, man. Y'all need some more lines or something, man. Damn.
It's hard, bro.
But thank you for calling and checking in,
bro. All right, brother.
All right, have a good one, man. Y'all have a blessed day.
You know what? There's two things that people always say. They be like, yo, what's up with Charlamagne and Little Mama? And I'm like, Little Mama's been on the show several times after that. People always say, what's up with you and DJ Drama? I'm like, Drama's been on the show many times after that.
But you know why, though? Because the way the internet moves, it's like, even though that happened 13 years ago, if you never saw it, say you just saw it yesterday, it's new to you. You know what I mean? You don't realize that was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Like the internet has these little moments in time where these frozen moments, these moments are suspended in time.
Right.
And so to us, we know the context. It was 13 years ago, but somebody might just see it and be like, oh, that happened yesterday.
Right.
You know, that's it. I get it.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
The brother Black Thought. Welcome back.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
How you feeling?
Legendary Black Thought.
I'm great. I feel great this morning, man.
You put out an amazing book.
Thank you, brother.
Called The Upcycled Self.
The Upcycled Self.
Unpsycled Self. Upcycled Self.
Yeah, yes, sir.
What does that title mean?
You know, essentially it's about, you know, putting those parts of ourselves, of our past, you know what I'm saying, that are no longer going to serve us or no longer going to serve us in the same way to a different use, you know what I'm saying, to a better use, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what it's about, really. It's a self-help memoir of sorts.
Yeah, the art of becoming who we are. I always wonder, why did it take us so long to discover who we actually are?
I mean, you know, it's a process. You know what I mean? It's valleys and peaks, and I think it's a, you know, you arrive at an understanding of who you are, you know, over time. Mm-hmm. So it's really no shortcut. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people that think you can go from A to Z, but you got to go B, C, D, E, F, G first. Mm-hmm. You know
That's
what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. And it teaches you too that, you know, everything is parallel. Like, there's really nothing behind you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And this book is about that, too. It's about, you know, accepting the present. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, living, being more intentional about your presence. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Did you get a chance to deal with... We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
All the trauma before you put it in this book, or was it some of it was releasing that trauma by writing this book?
Yeah, a lot of the trauma, you know, it was addressed in during the process, you know, and that's what made it, you know, just like this was my therapy. It was really, you know, a cathartic sort of experience, and more so than I'd expected. I mean, you know your history, right? But when it's laid out there, you know what I mean? When you have it on the cue cards, and you know what I mean? And you're reading it, you know, in a linear sort of way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just hits different, man. It hits differently. And there was something that my co-author, Jasmine Martin, was able to employ, like a tool she was able to use during this process that, it really hit me hard when I was reading one of the final drafts of the book. And it was, you know, she was able to speak. There's an aside section where you hear, my mother. Like, you hear my mother's perspective. Oof. And the way she was able to, you know, just to approximate my mother's perspective and her voice. Mm-hmm. That's what really, really hit me hard in the process.
You know? Did you ever question your faith as a kid growing up, because you talk about so much death in your life and all the stuff that you've been through? Did you ever say, you know what, does this really exist? Is there really a God or whoever you believe in? Did you ever question your faith at all?
I did, yeah. There's definitely been times, you know, when I've questioned my faith, you know, or I mean, just on the existential tip, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if there's a God, you know, how could all of this, you know, loss and trauma and death you know, exists. It's some of the stuff that I write about. Why? How was the world this ugly if you made it in your image?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? That's one of my bars from a song called Dear God. But to answer your question, definitely.
Now, how did you get that back? And the reason I ask is, if you don't know, when you read the book, you'll find out that you lost your father at a young age. You lost your mom at a young age as well.
Both
are murdered.
Yeah, murder victims.
So how did you get that faith back?
Through the arts. Visual art, which was my gateway, you know, into music. And that's what really saved my life. You know what I'm saying? It was a game changer that I would have been on I was already on it. I was on that path. And, you know, me meeting Questlove when I did, which, you know, I talk about in the book, and just getting on that musical trajectory of the arts is what really saved me.
Now, I know you was a baby when your father was tragically murdered, but you was a teenager when your mother was. Were you able to process that pain in the moment? Or was that something that you dealt with as you got older?
Yeah, I think it's something that I'm still dealing with. Mm-hmm. I definitely was not able to process it in the moment. You know, no matter how hard I tried, right? You know, I wanted to feel all the emotion that you would expect one to feel when you experience that sort of loss. But I mean, for me, it was. It took forever before I was even able to shed a tear. Damn. About, you know, my mother's murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's just because it was so many layers of callous and scar tissue to sort of work through. And that's what this book is about. It's about that armor that, you know, at one point in time, it might serve as a defense mechanism. It might, you know, protect you. Mm-hmm. But as we move through life and you get into different spaces, you start to interact with different people, and, you know, you're in these different dynamics. They no longer serve us in the same way.
What about vengeance and revenge? Like, ultimately let that go?
I mean,
it did you.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I have. That was just a wise move. I think I definitely came to understand as a young person when I was still a teenager that you know, holding on to negative energy in that way, you know, it's as detrimental to, you know, the beholder as it is to whoever you're trying to project it upon.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really sat with you know, the whole vengeance in that way. You know what I mean? As far like in my dad's case, it was never a solved murder. But in my mom's case, you know, they apprehended someone shortly after, and you know, we went through the trial and everything, and, you know, he received the sentence, and then there was a mistrial of it all, and we had to sit through it again. So I sat through my mother's murder trial twice.
Damn.
You know, and but in that, you know, once it was done, it was something that I had to let go of, you know what I mean, in order for me to be able to move forward. So,
and you still had love for Philly regardless of everything that happened.
Yeah,
because that got to be tough too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I absolutely have love, you know, for Philadelphia. That's the place that made me. But, you know, it's also one of those, you know, it can make you, it can break you, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it's the city of brotherly love. That love has always been a tough love.
No. All right, we got more with Black Thought. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Black Thought. Charlamagne, I was going to ask with the Roots. When you guys created The Roots, when did y'all start making money? And the reason I ask is because it was new.
Yeah.
Like when The Roots came out, it was something that hip-hop hasn't seen on that platform or respected on that platform.
Yeah.
So when did The Roots finally break through and was like, nah, this is hip-hop's band?
I want to say around, you know, 2006 or so.
Was it hard to always, you know, break into a market, sell it to a promoter? Because I just remember The Roots so early on and just like, this is just so different. And sometimes in hip-hop, different is hard to break through.
It was very hard for us. It was, you know, super difficult to because we didn't really look or sound or feel like anything else that was happening. So it was a lot of you know, we always had to prove ourselves, right? And you know, it took so long for us to even break even financially, and that's something that just came over time, you know, just paying those dues on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start at one point touring and then you're able to sort of get your stock up just through when you keep coming back, you know what I mean? So we were able to sort of build on that relevance. And it was wild. It was like when we finally hit a point, you know, 06, 07, you know, where we felt like, yeah, you know, all of these years of 200 plus days on the road,
mm-hmm,
started to pay off. That's when, you know, there was a whole seismic shift in the way people started to receive, you know, people were receiving music and, you know, concert tickets and all that thing. It was you know, we went through a revolution with the, you know, streaming and that whole thing. So, and then that's when the Tonight Show opportunity presented itself. And that's what made it make sense. It was like, you know, we had just finally reached we hit a stride,
mm-hmm,
and everything was changing, you know. So, that in that uncertainty, you know, the consistency of the day job and that platform that it would represent, you know, it looked really good.
Was there a particular moment? Was it Jay-Z using y'all a lot, or like, was it a particular moment that caused that shift?
You know, when we started to make some bread.
Yeah.
And
get recognized by enough to where the Tonight Show is like, yo, I want that to be.
I think it was just over time, man. You know, we we've been around for blessed enough to have been around, mm-hmm, for such a long time that, you know, a good example is, you know, there's a festival that takes place in Denmark and Copenhagen every year. It's called Roskilde. And, you know, we started playing at Roskilde before we were even, you know, allowed on the actual festival grounds. Like, we were, you know, two tents, you know, out on the main strip, mm-hmm, right? And, you know, we worked our way up from, you know, the outskirts to the tent, you know, right on the borderline to, you know, third and fourth stages. Until we came back and we were able to headline, you know, with it was the Roots and Bruce Springsteen co-headlining.
That's wow. dope.
You know, but yeah, that was over, you know what I'm saying, many years. And it's like, Roskilde isn't the, like, we've done that around the world, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just because we've been able to keep up appearances. So, yeah, you know, I guess we just paid our dues, you know? Yeah, and then once we got, you know, we got into late night and we started doing that thing, it definitely represented a change in our career where we haven't been able to tour in that same way. So, yeah, everything that we had done up until that point, it's just been a blessing. And this is the sort of thing where we probably had taken it for granted and thought mm-hmm. we'd be able to do it forever, but, you know, here we are. Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, it's just more of a blessing and just a greater opportunity when we do get to go out and still touch the fans in that way.
Now, when you decided to write about the altercation you had with Questlove,
yeah,
back in the 90s, did you have to ask him if you could speak on that?
No, I didn't have to ask him, okay. Because he'd written about it in one of his books
gotcha,
before.
Gotcha.
And it's the sort of thing that, you know, like, that's my brother, so I mean, I know if it's good or not, you know. Mm-hmm.
And also, it's like, to me, those are the best relationships.
Oh yeah.
If you can fight. Yeah. And then get over it.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Family.
And you know, it really takes. It takes love for somebody to get you that upset, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Only my loved ones have ever really been able to get me that riled mm-hmm. up, right? So it's there's something in that. But yeah, you know, we were all kids at that point.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm an adult, so I would have dealt with that situation a completely different way.
How long did y'all not speak?
I mean, we lived together. Maybe we didn't speak for the train ride home, but it's like, you know, once we got back to the
you
flat,
had to talk. Yeah,
we had
like,
to talk.
Right,
yeah,
right.
No escaping.
And how was that? That had to be uncomfortable, awkward. Or was it like, bro?
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. You know, it's the sort of thing that I would laugh about, you know, almost most immediately. Like, that's just where I come from.
And the name Black Thought.
Yeah.
Where exactly did that derive from?
It derived from, you know, my time as a visual artist and, you know, just dealing with paints and, mm-hmm. you know, just the color palette. I realized that, you know, so much more went into, you know, arriving at the color black, you know what I mean, than one would think. There's mm-hmm. so many different nuances and colors, other colors that go into, you know, arriving at the color black. So that's sort of what it began as. And over time, it's evolved into something, you know, that has taken far greater meaning, you know, both, I guess, to me and to, you know, to, you know, people who support me. So, yeah, at the time, I didn't think, you know, I wasn't thinking of Black Thought as the concept mm-hmm. of a people, you know what I'm saying? But that's sort of what it's come to mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, man, Black Thought's book, man.
That's right.
Upcycled Self.
The upcycled self.
Yes.
We appreciate you for joining us. And what do you want people to get out of this book? If they can get one thing out of it, what do you want them to get out of this book?
You know, if one person is able to see themselves and, you know, better understand themselves or better understand, you know, their path, their lived experience, if this is going to be, you know, an entree into someone else being able to start to work through their stuff and, you know, shed some of those layers of armor that are no longer useful, you know what I mean? Those layers of callus and scar tissue, then it's a win. And I've already, you know, experienced that, you know. I've already had some of those conversations, so I feel this book has already been helpful.
All right.
And y'all didn't get nominated for a Grammy this year, did you?
I did. I got nominated for a Grammy a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, congratulations.
Black Thought.
Oh, the album.
Yeah, acapella, not even with a beat.
Wow.
Just the voice.
Okay. Love it.
Bars.
Wow.
Yeah. Love letter to hip hop. Yeah.
How did that feel?
It feels awesome. It felt awesome.
And it's your first solo.
Yeah. Okay. Like in that moment, I didn't really realize it until, you know, my homie started telling me, like, yeah, you know, it's wild. Like, this is, you know, your first Grammy nomination, you know what I mean? Like, outside of the Roots.
Mm-hmm.
And then another homie hit me and was like, yo, it'd be wild if you win this joint. Like, that's a flex. You ain't even need music, you know? So I was like, yeah. And I started to, yeah, I sat with it, like, all right, yeah.
You wrote some bars for that just to get up there.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you still, I don't want to say need it, but do you like that type of validation?
I do. I do. I still appreciate that mm-hmm. that sort of validation. You know what I mean? That's not, you know, what I do it for,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely, yeah. I mean, it feels, it's great to be recognized, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, it's Black Thought. We appreciate you. Pick up his book, The Upcycled Self, and it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Daddy calling my phone.
Tell her.
It's topic time.
listening.
Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a situation that comes out of Blueface and Krishan's relationship. Now, Blueface allegedly took a DNA test secretly, and it proved that he is not the father of their child. So we're asking, is it disrespectful to ask for a DNA test, and is it even more disrespectful to secretly do one?
And you got to say, we don't know for sure if, like, that DNA test and what he said is real.
Yeah, we said, that's what I said allegedly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, he's saying he took it and it's not his, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it don't even matter about them.
No.
Yeah, let's talk about the situation.
Yeah, so that is the question. So how would you feel if you were dating somebody, you were pregnant, and a dude got a DNA test and you didn't know?
How serious are we, like, locked in, or are we just, like, having fun?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Yes,
very it does much matter. So. If we just having fun and, like, we are honest about the fact that we're dating other people and that happened, I would have to respect it. I would want you to be able to just know me and trust me, but I would have to respect it because we are obviously dealing with other people.
And I would expect you to get a DNA test. That'd be the first thing I'd do. If it was just a girl that I was out here having fun with and she got pregnant, the first thing I'm going to do is say, let's get a DNA test.
But even if you're in a relationship and you feel possibly that baby is not yours, you wouldn't tell the person because that ruins the whole relationship.
Oh,
that
relationship
ruins the trust.
Is
that ruins
crazy.
Everything. But you might want to know, right? Because what's the first thing usually a guy's mama say? That baby don't look like you. If the baby say, that baby don't look like you.
But you also know, too, as a guy, what you're doing and how often you're doing it and how locked in y'all are. So, like,
yeah, but we don't know how often the woman is doing it and how much, you know, they could be doing
if
it.
If y'all are under each other all the time, though, like.
That don't mean.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Nothing. Really?
No. Women are like cats. Men are like dogs. See, men, when they go out there and cheat, they get, you know, they do it in the open in front of everybody. Like, you be driving, you driving down the road, you then pass the yard and seeing two dogs stuck together. You ain't never seen two cats having sex with each other.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
Yeah.
That's why men are like dogs, women are like cats.
Yo, smarter.
So I don't think it's disrespectful. No, sneakier. I don't think it's disrespectful, you know, to go do what, you know, Blueface did. You know, you can't tell people trust their intuition, trust their gut, and then when they do, tell them they're being disrespectful. Because if a man sneaks and does it, and he's right about not being the father, being mad at him for sneaking and getting the DNA test, that's just a deflection. That's
even if the woman,
that ain't nothing but a deflection.
But that's even right. If the woman really thought that he was a father?
Yes.
But yeah. Like, she, it's not like she's pinning a kid on you. She just really thought you were the father.
Did you put the other options on the table?
Yeah, you should have put the other options on the table. That is pinning the kid on you.
Did you put the other option on the table?
You didn't say it could be Bill.
Hey, I slept with other people.
Person, yeah.
I said that in the beginning. I said, if we're just having fun and I'm sleeping with
other
people.
No, but what if you're not just having fun? What if you're in a relationship? But you did creep off.
Well, then that's messed up. Of course, that's messed up.
So you can't be mad at a person for having some intuition and feeling like they should go get a DNA test.
Not at all. Hello, who's this?
Hello, hey, this is Jayla.
Hey, Jayla, good morning. Talk to us. What's your thoughts?
So, I don't think it's disrespectful at all to ask for a DNA test. It is disrespectful to get one behind the parent's back, but you could just straight up ask for one. And if they deny the dad getting a DNA test, then, you know, they could take the mom to court.
I think you got to protect your peace, man. I get what you're saying, but, you know, asking for a DNA test is going to start a whole other argument.
Whole beef,
you know what
in
I'm
that
saying?
Household, correct.
So I would much rather, let me go do this on my own.
But
know?
If you do it on your own and then the kid is not yours and you decide to stay, do you then have to have a conversation about the fact that you snuck? Like, it's a whole thing.
No. No, because the reason you stuck was true, regardless of
but
what happened.
But you decide to stay. You're not going to...
It doesn't matter, but you lied.
You're not going to say nothing to the woman?
I would be... I mean, I'm not saying that can't happen, but I think it's very rare to find a man who snuck and did a DNA test, found out the kid wasn't his, and said, I'm just going to keep this to myself. I don't know.
It's cold. People need heat in a hot bed.
You stupid. D!
Yes, yes.
D, what's your thoughts, D?
This happened to me.
My thoughts is... It's not disrespectful to ask for a DNA test, but it's disrespectful as hell. Excuse my language, but it's disrespectful to go behind my back and spot my child without me knowing. Very disrespectful. I feel like whether we messing around or not, and I say it's your baby and you believe it, then like let's go for it. If you don't believe it, let's get a test. Like, just be careful. Be real.
Well, technically, well, technically, I'm not just swabbing your child. I'm swabbing my child because it's still our child until I find out it's not.
Right, but what is the actual problem of doing it with me around as well, or just
because I don't want to go through the beef? You know, good and well, you're not going to take that well if a man comes to you and be like,
"I'm gonna put you out. I'm gonna throw your clothes out."
Anyway,
no, you're not. You're only gonna go through the beef if I find out the child is not mine.
That's
but if
right.
The child is ours, I ain't gonna never say
it. No issue.
Come on, like, what's the problem of just saying, like, yeah, I don't feel like the baby is mine?
You know what the problem is.
He looking a little like that other
He looked like the other That's the problem.
No,
that's
yo,
the
woman, test.
That
no,
would make it even worse. If you say that to me, you better
gotta,
be ready
go
for
test. Let's see, unless your kid's old enough and they'd be like, Mommy, why did Daddy put that Q-tip in my mouth today? Then now you're in trouble. Now you're in trouble.
There is no woman on earth that's going to take that well.
No.
A
no,
man coming no. to her saying, I don't think this baby is mine. Can we get a DNA test?
And he looked like the other one? It's
come on, man.
That.
The only way a woman takes that well is if y'all not in a relationship. If y'all was just sleeping around with each other and, you know.
They were still. It would still be foul.
Then,
it would still be foul.
No, I don't think so.
Even then, it's like she can't. You can't really be mad about it, but you still would be like, damn.
If she says the child is yours and you're like, well, I want to get a test.
If we just sleeping around, if we don't have no relationship, if we don't know each other, I don't think that's the issue.
You got to be practical and you cannot be upset. But in an inside and in her group chat, she going to be like, y'all know he asked me for it. Like, she going to feel a little way a little bit.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Talk to us. What's your thoughts?
So I'm big on telling everybody, like, get a DNA test. Get a DNA test. It's mama's baby, daddy's maybe. So whether y'all together, no matter what's going on, a DNA test should be had. Nobody should have to sneak and do it because it should already be something that's discussed. And that's something you should talk about before you even have a kid with a person. I want to make sure this is my baby. I'm going to get a DNA test.
Yeah, you know, I just thought about something, too. Like, you know, if you go to a woman and you ask for a DNA test, if she knows that it's a possibility the baby may not be hers, she probably would get highly, highly upset. Because you only go, it's two things going to happen. You're going to get highly upset because you know the baby may not be his, or you're going to get highly upset because he asked you. But if he asks you and you know it's his, you probably just going to be just sitting back waiting to give him that little smirk like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now what?
But that's why women get mad. Mm-hmm. Like, begged my baby daddy. I was like, please, can you get a DNA test? Like, I tried to lie to him and everything. Like, it's a possibility. I don't know.
Why would you do that to him?
You play too much. So you play too much. You want me to hate you.
I'm going to tell you why I did it, though. My baby daddy is from the country in South Carolina.
What part?
And he feels as if he don't have to do anything because it's not proof that it's his.
What part of South Carolina he from?
Monk's Corner.
He from Dillon. He's from Dillon.
Yeah, that's country.
So he feel like he don't got to do nothing without proof. So when I was putting him on child support, I'm like, just get a DNA test. Just get one. And you know, child support, they ask you, like, do you want to get one? He would not get one. And he finally confessed, like, I already knew it was mine. I ain't had no doubt about it. I'm like, you still should have got one just for your security. Like, that black and white paper would have made you feel a whole lot better.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Mama.
But he would not get one.
Well, thank you so much. Like
everybody should get one. I got five brothers. I be telling my brothers all the time. You don't know what these women do?
That's right.
Even married people, y'all think should do this as well, too?
No.
No, not married people. If you're just in a relationship with somebody and y'all not committed, or if y'all just sleeping around, yeah.
I want that peace in my life. I don't want to have to go through this.
Nah. By the way, I think any time you have any intuition, any inkling that it may not be yours, get a DNA test.
I agree.
Hello. You got that feeling for a reason.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? Gerard.
Hey, what's up, Gerard? Talk to us, brother.
Man, I used to work with a guy, right? Mm-hmm. He found out his daughter wasn't here when he was like, where you going? She said, she looked up and said, I'm going to see my daddy. Ooh. And he was like, what? So you have to get a DNA test. I heard in Memphis, she's on a mandatory DNA test. Once the woman have the baby,
huh?
They're going to have a DNA test.
What
you
that is?
You are not.
Listen. Goodbye, sir. Goodbye.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. Jesus Christ. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is what I said earlier. If you have any, you know, inkling, or, you know, your instincts is telling you, it may not be yours. What's wrong with getting a DNA test?
Moral can also be just pull out.
What are you talking about?
Don't get pregnant by somebody that's going to have to question you.
You're going to get pregnant soon if you go in with the pull out method.
Why?
I'm just saying.
I want you to get on this radio sometimes and defy Delaware stereotype. We call it dirty Delaware. And all you do every time you get the opportunity to guest host on Breakfast Club is reinforce the dirty Delaware stereotype.
And it feels even dirtier coming from a woman. They're not using condoms if the person is potentially pregnant. So you're not going to use them.
Dirty Delaware. That way you don't got to get no DNA tests. Guys.
Don't be like that. Don't with that disgust. I don't like that.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Our special guest host, Chris Kalen, is here.
What's up?
And we got some special guests in the building.
Our guy,
Nick Cannon, is here.
Yes.
With a special guest, Klondike
Blonde. We got a future superstar in the building.
Yes.
Nick, we didn't see you all year.
No.
But we've seen him, but he hasn't been here. But he's been doing every damn thing out there.
Yeah.
How you been, brother?
I mean, I'm good, man. I'm excited about, you know, obviously here to talk about the new show that we launching on BET VH1. But just working, man. You know how it goes. Just the grind, doing my morning show thing too. So that's probably why I really ain't been able to be up here.
Yeah, future superstar. And speaking of future superstars, how you feel about your son being a better rapper than you?
Amazing. Yesterday we played his verse. We played his 8 bars.
He was going in. Who you think? Well, I see. No, I go. I don't want none of my wax sauce to get on him. So I'm letting. He's doing all right. I'm falling back.
Now somebody said he offered the ghost right for you.
Yeah, he should. Nah, my son is amazing, man. And like seeing, like, the, you know, when them young kids really got the natural swag, like, he be putting me up on the new game and stuff. And the dope thing is he's a rapper, but he's also a producer, too. So he's really into that space of, like, making beats and DJing and gaming and all that stuff. If he wants to do that, I see he really got it. Y'all see him rocking them stages. Absolutely. He's doing it every night on tour with his mom. So
that's pressure, though, right? Because he's Nick Cannon's dad, Mariah Carey.
See, there's
mom.
No pressure of being Nick Cannon's.
You're still a superstar.
No, I'm sorry. But now being Mariah's daughter and singing.
Yes. Right. True. Right. That's the pressure.
So that's why even with Monroe, we got her doing things like I taught her how to play guitar. We still work. I want her to have other aspects. She really wants to be an actress, too. Mm-hmm. She's talking about she wants to go to the Yale drama school and make sure, like, if she really. It's like she's taking it serious. Like she's already talking about, you know, getting her degree in theater at Yale. So like just trying to, you know, as a father, trying to really guide them in a direction. And we never pushed it on them. But the fact that now they're really starting to embrace it as they get into the teenage world, really want to cultivate it. So I'm proud of them, man.
Dope.
Now you do a skit with one of your child's moms.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
Now any other child mom be like, why you do so many skits with
her? Well, it's interesting because, like, I mean, everybody kind of got their lane. So, like, on my morning show, The Daily Cannon, I have, you know, one of the mothers of my children. She's in radio. She's DJ Abby De La Rosa. So that's kind of her space. So our social commentary and daily conversation, that's her lane. Bree is on Selling Sunset and like kind of like a social media guru and stuff, so that's her lane. So and everybody, even behind the scenes, like, you know, some of them have like foundations and we do a lot of philanthropic work. You'll see that some are literally like doctors and writing op-eds and theses. So you'll be able, like, the people that are specifically the mothers of my children that I have in my life, I try to cultivate whatever it is that they're into. And even kind of goes all the way back to the business of like future superstars. Like, I feel like I'm in that season, I'm in my era of just helping others and kind of amplifying whatever it is that they got going. And sometimes it just happened to be my baby mama.
Yeah, that's always been your thing, though.
Nah, I mean, you too, man. You don't get enough credit for all that you do, you know, helping people and putting them on and allowing them to shine. So I feel like we're kind of those guys that get to say, all right, if we see something in somebody, we can kind of put the mechanisms around them to allow them to do their thing.
All praise to God.
There it is.
Now, Klondike Blonde, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored. Now, where did the concept of future superstars come from, Nick? And why Klondike Blonde? Why her specifically?
I mean, if you...
I'm the GOAT.
She's okay. The GOAT. Okay. Her vibe is punk rock rap. Like, and if you saw her episode that actually just aired, you know, this week, is really, these people have compelling stories. If we remember what VH1 was always about, was like, we saw the behind the music. Mm-hmm. And it was really like telling the story. Sometimes, you know, it was a retrospective story, but now it's like these are the origin stories. So this is like before the music. This is in her journey, man. I mean, everything that she's gone through in life, from, you know, there's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of things where her music helps with her anxiety and to be able to kind of create your own genre. We went on this tour and I just wanted to highlight and tell the stories of these people that are just more than musicians because we don't have that no more. We don't have, other than platforms like y'all had, but we came up with VH1 Behind the Music and, you know, 106 in Park and all that. So I feel like we can now still be those curators to help this next generation, because I just got frustrated as somebody who has a label and has artists and like, yo, what happened to that promo run? What happened to putting people on the road, coming into radio stations, playing their song, meeting PDs and shaking hands, kissing babies, all of that type of stuff? And we did that. I started the tour with Live Nation and then I put the cameras on it and, you know, now we got, you know, a tour, a TV show. They on the cover of Vibe magazine. It's like, so now it's like, this is like that starter kit of like, all right, the way XXL has the freshman cover, but now we got the cover of the magazine, we got the tour, we got the TV show. So if you see one of these acts, they literally gonna become, you know, the next superstar.
What you just said is why I feel like it's hard to build superstars nowadays.
One, you don't, everything is so microwavable, you know what I mean? Everybody wanted now, and then when they don't want it no more, they on to the next thing.
Right.
But if you know someone's story, if you know what she went through, if you know, you know, her relationship, you know, with her family and the things that, you know, how close she is with, you know, her brother was one of her biggest fans and had a tragic accident, and now she's doing it for her brother. If you know that the songs that, you know, why she has all the tattoos is connected to growing up in a trap house and her mom and dad being teenagers. Like, when you know that about somebody, when you hear their music, you're like, okay, I'm connected now. And right. I feel like this generation of kids, they're figuring it out through their phones and social media, but it's never amplified. You never get to see it at a level to where, you know, hopefully we doing with future superstars.
So, like, what, you being from Raleigh, North Carolina, the South, how did you get discovered? Because it seems like no one really looks for us down South.
Exactly.
Especially in the Carolina.
Right.
Right. So the thing is, I did move to Cali when I was 12.
Okay.
So, but this was in the Bay Area. Even in the Bay Area, I couldn't really, like, get my name out there like I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I turned 18, I moved to Atlanta. Because I knew, like, growing up, I knew that was the spot I like to be, like, to get discovered and to pop off your career. So that's really how I got discovered in Atlanta.
What about the name Klondike Blonde?
Honestly, it came out of my ass one day. I was really high.
What?
Yeah.
Just came out your ass one day?
What is that? Too much ice cream? Too many Klondike bars?
Yeah, right?
Like, what happened? Out of nowhere. Like, I had just cut my hair and bleached it blonde. Oh, and I was cool. About to upload my first song. I'm looking in the mirror high as hell, and I'm like, I'm not finna upload this song under my government name.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it just came to me. I was like, Klondike Blonde, this is it. So, I uploaded this song, I put the name as Klondike Blonde, and it just stuck.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Where did you find it, though, Nick? What
I mean, well, honestly, it's, you know, she's kind of truncating her story a little bit, but she was on the grind for a minute and actually had a song that went super viral. A lot of people already, her drip record went crazy, like 20, 30 million streams. And I heard, like, my kids was singing it off of TikTok, and I'm like, one of them annoying ass songs, like, I'm back on my drip.
Annoying.
I mean, I didn't know about, like, I seen my kids singing it, like, what is this damn song? And they're like,
and you gotta make sure it's not something inappropriate.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, this joint is crazy. And then through our connection, you know, through Frisco Chuck in the Bay and everything, who runs Incredible Music, was like, yo, this is that record. And then we met her, and knowing that she was already moving, as I was like, yo, this, she's a superstar. Like, when she walked in the room, like, that's a star right there. And then from there, I was putting together the Future Superstar Tour, and we're like, yo, we could probably make this work. And you know me, I'm always thinking TV shows, movies, products, and all that. And she embodied everything that we was trying to put together with that young energy. The fact that she already had something that was popping, and really just wanted to cultivate, like, yo, when you see somebody, I was like, all right, we're going to tweak it like this. We're going to take all that viral sensation and put something on it. And I was like, yo, she's a rock star. So we've been going with this punk rock rap movement that she created.
Do you feel like you had your I Made It moment yet?
I feel like I accomplished everything I said I was going to do as a kid. But being here and seeing that, like, I accomplished those things, I still see that I have way further to go. So I don't think in my head that, like, I'm exactly where I need to be.
But you're definitely on the right track, though.
But I'm on the right track.
Yeah, you definitely
are. We almost there. Yeah. For sure.
All right, we got more with Nick Cannon and Klondike Blonde. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, welcome back. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nick Cannon and Klondike Blonde. Now, we taped this interview yesterday, so Chris Kalen was here. Charlamagne?
Why did you just focus on music, though, with Future Superstars, Nick?
I think we're going to, I mean, that's just the first show that I rolled out. Okay. You're going to see a lot more stuff. I mean, obviously in the space of, you know, comedy is where, you know, we get off really well. And, you know, platforms like Wildin' Out has birthed so many stars. So I have that place where I can implement social media stars and even comedians and actors, because Wildin' Out is going to continue to go and do what it needs to do. So I feel like I have that lane. And again, part of the music thing for me was people didn't know that there's a lot of people like, Nick Cannon does music? And then, so the fact is, like, see this motherfucker over here. When even just the word music, like, before I was rapper.
Right, now music.
Now it's like, this music is something that every project, all of my successful projects, Charlamagne, have music in them, and I'm
a
music.
You did do a good gospel song with Kim Burrell.
With Kiki Shear.
Kiki Shear. Because I was lying. I just was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do them like that. And
I'm not even talking about being a artist.
That's what I get for lying.
So, like, Masked Singer, America's Got Talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
All music based stuff. Wildin' Out. I say this all the time. I make all the music on Wildin' Out. But it's just like people just, they see the aspect of like drumline. Like everything that I do has a musical vibration to it. It's just that, you know, for whatever reason, because of motherfuckers like this, the narrative is that I haven't been successful.
It has nothing to do with me, Nick.
You're the culprit. No, it's you.
By the way, I only say rap.
He just said music. You see how the comedian will manipulate? I'll take the rap.
Plays the clip back.
Like, but now it's like, now I'm not successful in music.
Like, not,
well, but people don't know those things though.
But that's why, that's the whole purpose of Future Superstar and itself. Like, we joking, we friends and shit like that, but it really is educating people to the space of like, yo, I've been a music executive for over 20 years.
But do you think you overworking? We know you had health issues before.
Yeah.
But you, it don't seem like you slowed down. It seemed like that made you work harder.
It
like,
gave me more, I mean, the clock started ticking faster. Like, it gave me like, yo, I really had to get serious in that sense of like, yo, all right, it's bandwidth more than anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, I got a lot to do. You know, God ain't done with me. He's blessed me with the opportunity to have gone through some real shit. And now it's like, all right, now let's get your health together. Let's lock in and really focus and make the most of your time. So every day that I wake up healthy and don't hurt, it's like, I got to get to it. Like, that's the blessing in itself. So
did you really think like the end was near?
Hell yeah. Especially like during that time, it got dark. Like during like, you know, 2012 to even like 2016, because I didn't know and I couldn't get the shit right. So every time I got one thing right, like I get a blood clot here or a pulmonary embolism, I couldn't, like my lungs, like, so once I got to this space of like, all right, I figured out, you know, how to stay healthy and mm-hmm. how to stay alive, then it's like, that's the constant reminder of like, you got to do something with this. You got to turn your pain into purpose. And mm-hmm. and for me, that became helping others. Like, and mm-hmm. you know, you go through this spiritual transition of like, all the things that feed me are probably not the best for me, but when I'm feeding others, that's when I feel the healthiest. That's mm-hmm. when I feel the drive to do. So now I live in that space. I'm like, all right, what can I do to make the world a better place? What can I do to lend a hand to the next artist? And, you know, that's that healthy journey for me, to where it gives me that drive, because I don't feel like I'm busy. I don't feel like I'm doing too much. I feel like, yo, this is my calling. This is where I'm supposed to go with it. So, you know, hopefully, however many more years I got left, I'll keep rocking.
Was that the reason you started having so many kids?
People say that. I don't know. Like, if I took the spiritual,
I think
aspect,
you might have said it in an interview or joked around. And that's,
I was joking. I think
you
probably said it here. Yeah. I was. But if I'm being serious, it wasn't like I set out to do it. It probably got to that space of like, I value being a father. I value life. So I was never against the concept. And if we want to have deeper conversations about, you know, like what I talk about in therapy and even as men, it's like there are those times, and we've been, you know, I've called it access to excess. I have the ability.
That's right.
To do my thing and mm-hmm. and a lot of others probably I could have stopped, you know, and or even not had the children, but I was welcoming the idea of it and was never against it. People say, or people's opinions about me is none of my business. And if anything, I take that low frequency energy and shift it to where it's like, all right, keep talking, because I'm doing the work.
How are you handling Christmas?
Hold on. Is it low frequency energy if people say, Nick, why don't you wear condoms?
Who told you I don't wear condoms, Charlamagne?
But the condoms you use, you need the suit. Like, you need the suit. If you use condoms, you need the suit. But how do you handle Christmas?
I mean, I joke. I'm saying, I'm Saint Nick and everything. But it's really structured in a way to where those, I kind of take that week and turn it into Christmas week.
Okay.
You know, and there is, because I'm traveling and flying, like I'm trying to be everybody. And even Thanksgiving was the same way. I was in 5-6 different Thanksgivings at a time, because it's my mom's house, it's my grandmother's house.
What do you say, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Why don't I mean, how long is dinner? Like, you ain't gotta be here that long. Y'all play spades, I'm out to the next house.
Do you eat?
I mean, I take everybody, you know, everybody cook different. So, like,
I take one thing from every house, and by the time you get to the last house, you got the whole
thing. My white baby mama, I'm not really eating that potato salad.
But, oh my God.
It's different between pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie.
Now, one of your baby moms, Bree, she said, how you juggle your 12 kids for the holidays is your problem.
And I don't see it as a problem. I think she was saying, like, it is, but I don't involve her. Like,
but I feel like a baby mom's got to make it easy for you, too, right?
They do. Yeah. And that's what, I give them credit to where, like, even in the process of, like, they say this is what we want, and it's everything from Christmas pictures to sled riding, the pictures with Santa or experiences. Like, I make sure that every kid who wants to do something or we have certain things set up, we make time to go do it. So mm-hmm. I'm all over the damn place, but it's fun. I mean, y'all see my IG, you see me, like, we f***ing having a ball. Like, you know how much money I spend at Disneyland a year?
We can imagine.
I got six, so I can't imagine.
What? No, the crazy thing is, because I used to host Christmas morning at Disneyland. Right. And so I used to get that Disney bag. Like, it was like, and it was, there were perks. So all of that stuff was free.
It's no longer free, huh?
It's no longer free. And I only had two kids then. So, like, to be 12, so, and every birthday, Chris, like, I'm literally at Disneyland at least once a month. And to move around Disney, like, I'm probably spending $200,000 a year at Disney.
Sheesh.
At Disneyland.
Yeah, because you got to pay for the chaperone.
You got all of that. But first of all, Disneyland is expensive at all top. Like, if you're trying to stay in the hotel, and now it's not how it used to be. Like, you got to make reservations and stuff like that. So, I'm spending $200,000 a year at Disneyland.
I need to give you, like, a membership or something.
I used to be an employee. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, Mickey, can you hook me up? Like, can I get my job back? That's what job I need back.
But does any woman that you had a child with, did they feel like they were going to stop you from doing it and you were going to be the one? Did y'all ever have that conversation?
It's them. I mean, the women in my life are so amazing. They are elevated in the sense that they never tried to change me. They knew what it was, and it wasn't like, it was just a process, because all of them started off as true companions. Mm-hmm. And I look at them now, it's like, those are the people I talk to, like, that's my circle. That's who I go to when I'm having issues, because the world a lot of times is against us. So, like, we gotta stick together in a sense of, like, I gotta protect them and they gotta protect me, even not to generalize them as a group, but just individually, those are the people that I go to when I'm depressed, when I'm f***ed up, relationship or not.
All right, we got more with Nick Cannon and Klondike Blonde. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, welcome back. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nick Cannon and Klondike Blonde. Now, we taped this interview yesterday, so Chris Kalen was here. Now, I got a question. Does Nick want to get married? Do you look at? Do you see marriage in the
never
future? Never again?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, because last time I used my words incorrectly. Last time we was having conversation, I'd be forgetting the mics is on it. And I said it was a Eurocentric concept. Mm-hmm. What I really meant is the colonial aspect of marriage. It's a business. Mm-hmm. And I've been in that business before. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in that business no more. It's so much paperwork. I don't want the government to be involved with my love life. I shouldn't have to have a legal document or a contract to let someone know how much I care for them. Now I want to be their protector and their provider. It's kind of like the child support system. Mm-hmm. If you take care of your children, there's no need for paperwork. Mm-hmm. Because I want my kids to have everything that I own. I don't want them to go without at all. I want them to live an abundant life. So I don't need the government to tell me the minimum that I need to pay, because I'm going to give them the maximum. Mm. So same thing with love and marriage. If I fuck with you for life, I don't need to be binded by a contract or a ring. And therefore, that's in the way those contracts are designed. That's from a Roman Catholicism approach of how we do it. There's ways to have unions and covenants and marriages through so many other philosophies in life, specifically, you know, in our African community from the diaspora, they do it differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm learning and understanding those processes, but I know you go over to the continent, it ain't about contracts, it ain't about paperwork and rings. It's like, nah, this is my wife, and however that moves around. So the concept of the American society marriage, I'll never do that again. But who's to say I can't find a life partner?
Gotcha.
That I'm a rock with. We ain't old. Like, we in that state where it's like, by the time I'm in my 60s, I want to be on an island or top of a mountain in Tibet somewhere with somebody I could rock with forever. So I'm looking at it like that.
Kevin Lyles actually told me a long time ago, he said, I can't tell you to get married, but I can tell you, you should always have somebody to share your experiences with.
Yeah.
I f*** with that heavy. Mm-hmm. Like that, I can see myself doing that. And then the fact, like, people are like, oh, aren't you worried about getting lonely? Like, I got 12 kids. Like, ain't never going to be lonely. Somebody coming over. Like,
but even with that, that's scary too, though, right? Because I read something where it said you spend 70% of all the time you're ever going to spend with your kids between 1 and 18.
That's crazy.
And when you think about it, that's probably true. Yeah. Think about how many times you've probably seen your parents as you get become an adult and you're out in the world trying to figure things out.
And then even when you think about, like, the time that they spend at school and sports and stuff, like, there's other people who are with your children throughout the day more than you are. And I'm learning that too, because I'm trying to be present at all of these games. And, you know, I'm picking them up from school and knowing the teachers and spending time at the recitals. And it's like, I want them to at least see my presence there, because I know there's going to be a time where I'm on a film set for 2 months. There's going to be a time where I'm on tour over here. Mm-hmm. So I want them to see me every free time that I can, because when you think about the person with the average person with a 9-to-5, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., they are under the supervision of a completely different adult. Mm-hmm. And then even by the time you get to work, you tired, they tired, you might get to see your kids, what, from 6 to 8? Mm-hmm. And then y'all sleep, and then again, like, so, like, the average, because I'm with my therapist, we've done the math on it, the average time that a parent spends with their kids a day is less than 3 hours. And then when you think about, like, that's why weekends are so important. That's why vacations are so important, because that's when they really get to know you, and that's when you really get to, it's about the qualitative approach, and it's really about creating as many core memories in that amount of time that you possibly can.
When your therapist talks about average parent, he ain't talking about you, right?
No, because clearly, to me, I'm trying to go above and beyond when it comes to that parenting aspect, because I'm trying to create the best core memories as possible, because core memories can be in a positive light or in a negative light. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, that's all about keeping your word. That's all about managing expectations, because if I tell my kids something, I'm going to make sure I do it. And you know, obviously I have a strong support team that helped me accomplish a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, as important as it is to sit back and analyze these things through therapy,
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You know this very well. It's like you're constantly trying to grow. Absolutely. You're constantly trying to figure out how can I be a better dad, right, in, considering the circumstance.
I saw them ask Eddie Murphy, too, to give you some advice. Did you see that?
I love it. Yeah.
I was waiting for the advice.
He gave absolutely nothing.
No, no. He's like, I ain't got no advice to help me.
He got 12 kids.
All he said was love and mercy.
Yeah, I passed Eddie quick, too, because he was... I look up to the Eddie Murphys, to the Bob Marleys, to the Muhammad Ali's, to the Dr. Sabies, to all these people who have giant families and providing for them all and all of their... When you talk to anybody in Muhammad Ali's camp, anybody in the Marley family, anybody, they love their father so much. Mm-hmm. And they like, man, my father was amazing. Like that, I hope and pray people look at me the way, or my children look at me the way that Eddie's children look at him. I hope and pray that, you know, the way that people admire Muhammad Ali as the father that he was. Like, that's hopefully, you know, 10, 15 years from now, my children are saying those type of things about me.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you for joining us, Nick Cannon and Klondike Blonde.
What do we expect from Klondike Blonde next, though? Like, what is it, a project dropping? Like, what is it?
We are working on a lot of records right now within the punk rock rap little genre.
She in that vibe, that little Uzi, that Juice WRLD. Like, she's like that whole festival vibe. So she, you know, you're going to see her do a lot of shows. And like
on her, road.
Yeah, she got the Tatted Up record out right now. That's streaming going crazy.
Okay.
And, you know, the tattoo world is a real world that she's embraced and living in. And like, all her punk rock rap music is going to go up. So she's one of those artists that stream. Like, again, that was one of the issues why I created. Like, you heard the song. You heard the song on TikTok and you know it, but you never see the person.
Right. Yeah.
Now we're going to turn her into the superstar that she needs to be and you know, allow her fans to kind of touch her in a way that, you know, hopefully we take it to that level.
Who's all on Incredible? I know Justina Valentine.
Hitman Holla.
Blonde, Hitman Holla.
Yeah, those are, I mean, there's a plethora of acts that we're working with. And again, I don't like to be like, oh, you're signed to Incredible, but these are the people from the artists that you see on, you know, even people like DC Young Fly is an amazing artist. Mm-hmm. It's just that we got to line it up for when it's time to focus on his music because he's doing so many other things. So the artists that we're focusing on at the moment is Klondike, Hitman, and Justina are the ones that you're going to see in the, like, within the next 60 days dropping. And, you know, we got a lot. Season 2 of Future Superstars is going to be a whole nother run.
Right. Season 2, you got to come to Charleston.
We
and
do.
Find some talent. Seriously.
100%. I mean, you
I
know,
got a playlist. You can hear some awesome things.
You know, we all Carolina right here.
That's right. I'm
Carolina squad over here.
That's right.
I'll be there tomorrow. My grandmother just turned 104.
Or she turned 104. That's a blessing.
Yeah. Wow. Shouts out to Kareem Cannon. Happy birthday. So, I'm going to spend it with my great grandmother.
Absolutely.
In Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Kannapolis? What's that next to?
Concord.
Charlotte.
Okay, Charlotte.
Yeah. Got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's The Breakfast Club. It's Nick Cannon, Klondike Blonde. Thank y'all.
Let's go.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Did she get Donkey of the Day? Please tell me.
I have become Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Mic on red. There you go. Donkey of the Day goes to a man in Fort Myers, Florida named Kevin. Now, what does your Uncle Charlotte always say about the great state of Florida? Say it with me, people. The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. And today's Donkey of the Day is no different. Now, I don't know if this man's name is actually Kevin, but that's what he said his name was. And I don't know if that's really his name because this man made some other claims that make me feel like I don't know if we can believe anything that comes out of his mouth. And because this man is just running around saying things that we don't know if we can believe, we the people need to get this man off the street and get him some help. Now, I know what you're saying. Charlamagne, since when do you want to get people from Florida some help? Well, that should let you know the severity of the level of donkey we are dealing with. Would you like to know what Kevin's claims were? Let's go to NBC 2 for the report, please.
Here at the McCaslin household on Shadowley Road, it was all but a typical Thursday evening.
We were eating dinner with myself and my two daughters, and we heard a noise at the door.
Oh, but nobody was knocking. Instead, this random man was inviting himself in for a bite to eat. Brian got up from the table and found this guy standing right in his living room.
He was in the house. He started telling me that he was a ghost and that I shouldn't be able to see him.
That's right. This guy thought he was a ghost.
And he was shocked that I could see him. Thought he was walking around and that nobody could see him.
Brian is barely able to believe what he's seeing.
I could tell his behavior was not normal. Who knows what this person might do, you know, if they had a chance to think.
After causing this scene inside, this guy who claims his name is Kevin came running outside to where a crew was cutting down a tree. He hopped up in one of their trucks and locked himself inside. So at this point, this man barged into Brian's home. He thinks he's a ghost, and now he's locked inside a tree crew's truck.
I think it's all wild.
After coaxing the man for a while, the tree trimmers were finally able to get him out, where he then took off wearing nothing but his bathing suit.
Let me tell you something, man. If you come to my house with a bathing suit, no shoes or anything else on, and I'm in there eating with my daughters, and you are advancing into my house, you get into my house, and you claim to be a ghost, I promise I'm going to make your claim come true. That's right. You may not have been a ghost when you entered, but you shall be a ghost when you leave, okay? F you, die slow, my 4-4, make sure all your kids don't grow. Look, man, here's the thing. I know this man is probably dealing with some form of mental illness, but in that moment when someone invades the peace that is your house, you in there with your kids, the first law of nature is self-preservation. I gotta protect me and mine, and at this point, I don't know what your angle is, but if you're coming in talking about you a ghost, I don't have no choice but to defend myself because you might be trying to make me one, okay? I don't know if you're a friendly ghost or a demon. We don't know if you Casper or Freddy Krueger, Slimer or Samara Morgan from The Ring. You're breaking somebody's house talking about you a ghost, then you deserve to get sent to your maker and become the ghost of Christmas past. They said he was wearing nothing but a bathing suit. No shoes or anything else. You know another way to look at it? That's not a ghost. That's a crackhead. Okay, maybe meth, all right? Maybe bath salts, maybe Fenty Beauty. By Fenty, I mean fentanyl. All I'm saying is I know drug head behavior when I hear it. This man was fiending for a hit, so he was doing what drug heads do, breaking and entering and stealing stuff, looking to make money to get his next hit. See, what happened is he didn't expect for these people to be home. And I have to commend the father here because he knows rule number one when dealing with a full-blown crackhead, okay? You must remain calm, all right? It's like if you saw a bear or... Ladies, when you see that guy you left on read, Claudia, you understand that, right? You just remain calm.
Yeah, that's all.
But the moment Kevin realized he wasn't invisible and could be seen, that's when he knew maybe, just maybe, he probably was still high. Okay, yes, this man was clearly still under the influence because whenever I'm high, you can't tell me I don't have superpowers like invisibility or mind reading, but that's a whole other topic. Now, I agree that we need to find this man some help. All right, but first we have to find him. So they are asking if you have any information that might help investigators, you can submit an anonymous tip to SWFL Crime Stoppers or call 1-800-780-TIPS. But I am a person who loves to see things from both sides, and I've lived long enough to know to always be skeptical, but listen. So Kevin says he's a ghost. As I take a step back, I think to myself, what if we are the ones tripping? What if he's not a crackhead and he is indeed a ghost? Who you gonna call? Something strange in the neighborhood. That's all I'm saying.
Who you gonna call?
That's right.
Maybe he identifies as a ghost.
Maybe he identifies as a ghost.
That is factual.
But who are we
right.
to say?
That's right. You know what? You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Please give this man who identifies as a ghost, Kevin, the biggest hee-haw.
All right.
And we can't deny him. If he wants to identify as a ghost, who are we to say he can't be a ghost?
Where does it end, though?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's crazy.
That's All a right. good question.
Well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
The legendary.
E-40.
What's happening?
Welcome back.
Right on.
Man, you know what I be wondering, E-40. Do you cook for Thanksgiving? Or do you let somebody else do it?
My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my wife, and my son, the Iron Skillet Master.
So you take the break on Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving, I take the break. Why? I provide all of the beverages.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, why do you take a back seat on Thanksgiving?
They cook better than me, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I go crazy, but you know, when it comes to Thanksgiving foods, like, you know, dressing, and my mother-in-law make these you know, the yams over at Ruth Chris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sweet potato casserole.
With the marshmallow in it?
She do better than, walnuts? Is it walnuts on there, pecan? She do it better than that. Like, she do it better than the Ruth Chris sweet potato casserole.
Damn.
Yeah, so stuff like that. Wifey do potato salad and all that, and chicken spaghettis. And not your normal chicken spaghetti, too. We'll talk about all that. But
I'm hungry right now talking about all this.
Because you think it's red sauce, but it's not.
It's not red sauce?
Nah. Nah.
You can't give out the secret ingredient?
I can't. Because I'm a co-packet.
Okay.
It's already in motion like the ocean.
Okay, okay.
We got Going with the Spoon, the book. You and Snoop are on the cover. So you and Snoop did this together. Can Snoop cook?
Snoop can cook. He got his little, you know what I'm saying, his little ooh wickles.
What does he cook?
I think he like to do fried chicken and stuff like that, you know. I'm just all over the place like space with mine. I'm liable to do, you know, some orange roughy or something with some pan-seared orange roughy with some almonds and some butter and some white wines.
I saw you do a mozzarella stuffed turkey meatloaf.
Yeah, it go crazy.
I don't even eat cheese, but I'm like, man, I would have to taste some of that.
It's delicious, brother. Yes.
Where do you even come up with these combinations?
Where do you get recipes and ideas from?
Just being greedy. Just being greedy straight up. You know, I've been cooking for many moons. I used to work at this restaurant in Benicia, California, called the Commandant's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I started off working in this when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Started off working in the kitchen, washing dishes in the pantry. Next thing you know, a guy by the name of Lewis, he was the main chef there. And this place was like a Michelin star restaurant. A lot of rich people go there.
Mm-hmm.
But they wasn't giving out Michelin stars at that time. But if they was, that definitely would have been it. Because dude taught me how to make orange roughy, mm-hmm. Chicken cordon bleu, escargot, you understand me, London broil. You know, just all kind of just elegant stuff, you know. And so, but you know, along with Magazine Street, you know, I top ramen noodles with eggs and stuff like that, you understand me? I just go crazy. I just do what I feel tastes best, you know what I'm saying? I love making oxtails and a power pressure cooker, oxtails, mm-hmm. Short ribs, you know, gumbo, things of that nature.
So this is interesting because, you know, I've wondered where because I love watching you. I've been telling you this for years. I love watching you on Instagram and seeing you cook. So your family, you come from a family of cooks and you worked in a restaurant.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you surprised with the receptiveness that you get from the cooking? Because I almost seem like I see more people loving more the cooking than some of the music at times.
Hey, you know, people love music, but they love food more than music, I think. Period. Don't you think so? When you wake up in the morning, you trying to hear music or you want to eat?
Kind of both. You know what I'm saying?
You feel me?
Yeah, so, they kind of go hand in hand a little bit.
So, you know, so in 2014, I had got a power pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I started making all the meals and stuff like that. And then, you know what I'm saying, me and Be Legit got a song where Be Legit said, the goon with the spoon. You know what I'm saying? And we said on a couple of songs and whatnot. And I was like, you know what? I start hashtagging Goon with the Spoon. And then I told my boy Cousin Feek to have his guy go make the logo. So he went and made the logo. And so I feel like, you know how you got McDonald's and you got Arby's and you got Jack in the Box and so on and so forth. You know, those logos, they subliminally in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to do when I got the vector. I put the vector on on every post that I did when I did the cooking. So you would always see Goon with the Spoon down at the bottom right-hand corner. And so I knew what I was doing because I knew I was finna go into co-packing.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Goon with the Spoon is just not just me just on Instagram. It's a brand. Like, I co-pack. Like, I got Goon with the Spoon ice cream, 6 different flavors. I got Goon with the Spoon sausages, chicken teriyaki, pineapple, Philly chicken cheesesteak, and mild beef and hot beef. I got Goon with the Spoon burritos, you understand me? And many more to come. So now we got the book. And Snoop Dogg was like, he say, nephew, come on, man, listen. Well, Unc, he call everybody his nephew, but Unc, man, let's go, let's do something, man. Because he was already in the, he already got his own book. It's a bestseller, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had the outlet, and I was like, you know, it's only right. I don't have no pride problem, you know. That's the problem with people. They got pride. They, you know what I'm saying, put your pride to the side, you know what I mean? I'm like, what better person to let, you know what I'm saying, put it out on the platform? It's everywhere now, so it's out now.
That's right.
The goon with the spoon.
And goon with the spoon, you weren't, be legit, wasn't talking about cooking.
It's a double entendre.
But it's a good way to turn a so-called negative into a positive.
That's right. So check game. So I feel like, you know how when you play basketball, a lot of people, like say for instance, we got, when we got McCaffrey on our team, the 49ers, mm-hmm. my cousin, a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Smart man.
Yeah, he was
horrible,
like,
man.
For real? You think so? And he was like, you know, we talk big Bronco to each other, and I ain't talking about Denver Broncos. That's just a phrase I said. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I ain't going to lie, McCaffrey a dog, right? So that the dog is not a dog in a bad way. It's like,
that's right.
He, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just like being a beast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why I can't be a goon with a spoon cooking?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
That's right.
Now, you did mention basketball. Can we talk Warriors a little bit?
You want to talk Warriors?
Draymond Green just you know, grab the poor light skinned brother out his damn near out his shoes, man.
What you want me to say? What you talking to me? You know I'm not finna go against Draymond. First and foremost, he's sharper than a porcupine spine.
That's right.
And he observes everything. And most of the time, when he say rewind the tape,
yes, sir.
When they call some bad stuff on him, he right most mm-hmm. of the time. So I'm just rocking with Draymond because when he react on something, I take his opinion. I know. I'm rocking with Draymond. He's real.
He's holding out his team, and he should.
That most is my favorite NBA player.
And nobody do nothing to none of his team.
No. That's right, especially Clay and stuff.
Absolutely.
And you don't win championships without a Draymond Green type it. Player.
A tough player,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Protected.
Because was Rodman? Rodman was a fool with it, huh?
Was he?
Rodman was a fool with it.
He was a fool with it.
Oakley
was
a fool with it. Oakley,
they was with it.
You need enforcers.
The Pistons back then, they were fools with it.
Absolutely.
Now, there was an incident that happened in Sacramento when you were out at the playoff game. Mm-hmm. What happened during that time?
Man, I just was just being me, man. I was just sitting courtside like I always do. I just so happened to go to Sacramento. I just did a successful bottle signing at Total Wine with all my liquor brands. Line was wrapped around the building. I know Sacramento loved me dearly. And just a heckler in the background and, you know, just was drunk or whatever. And I just was like, oh, told me to sit down. I'm at the basketball. I'm front row. You, like, behind me, like, three rows up or whatever. You can't tell. You new to this. I've been doing this since Moby Dick was a goldfish, you dig?
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, told me to sit down again, and I looked back, and I didn't cuss her out or nothing. I said, hey, and next thing you know, the security came, and we just, put it this way, man, we got it straight, because I know that Sacramento loves me. I know Sacramento King fans love me, and the owner got big love for me. Matter of fact, I'll be at the Gold One Center, December? Got a big show there, so mm-hmm. they own that building, so we rocking.
Okay. All right, we got more with E-40 when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with E-40. Charlamagne?
I know you're here to talk about your 27th solo album, Rule of Thumb, but, you know, we can't
look. Way more than that. I don't know why they keep putting 27.
It's not 20. How many is it?
It's more than that. Oh, you 30, 30-something.
Damn.
Jesus.
Because you got to put my EPs up in that thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, my solo EPs. Mr. Flamboyant came out in 1989.
Do you count the compilations too? Like,
No compilation. I ain't even counting the compilations or the albums with the click.
Damn. Kind of
that, yeah. Mm. I've been doing this since Kermit the Frog was a polywog.
But you know, a couple weeks ago, November 9th, 1993, Federal album dropped.
It really was 1992. We used to put it up a year because we was in the, when you talk about independent, we was the real independent.
Okay.
Like, you understand me? I'm talking about using City Hall Records as our main hub and music people. We didn't have a big distribution deal, you know, until like 94 when Jive Records and every label that did rap music, they had a big bidding war on me. Mm-hmm. And they wanted, you know, they wanted me stick with the records. They wanted us, you know. And I went ahead and went with Jive. But nah, they put the, we used to always put it up a year because it would take some time to get to other states. And when it did get to other states, we wanted it to soak in. We didn't want them to think the album or the EP is old. Mm. That was just our method. My Uncle St. Charles, I'm sure y'all heard me speak of Uncle St. Charles, that's my mother's brother, mm-hmm. blood. So, you know, everybody say, Uncle this, Uncle that, that's my bloodline. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, helped, you know what I'm saying, the boy Master P and many of us, you know what I mean, from the beginning, because Master P used to be out there with us in the Bay Area in Richmond, California. Mm-hmm. So P seeing how I was doing it, he was doing his thing too. but he wasn't doing it on the level that he was doing it when he, once he got to with St. Charles, and then he just took it to big heights.
So it's been,
and that's my brother right now to this day.
So it's been 31 years since Federal then.
Not 30. Yeah, 1992.
Dang.
Wow. He came in.
Damn. What does your mind go when you think about that?
It was going to start off as an EP because that's what we was doing when you do solo stuff back mm-hmm. then. It was, and I just had too much gas. And I was like, man, let me just go on and add some more songs to make it an album. And that's the mind frame. I had a lot to say, being fresh from the soil
mm-hmm.
and way ahead of my time.
Do you remember the impact it had?
Yeah, woke the game up.
Yeah.
I'm the dopest, bro. Only suckers and clowns can't see it. You know what I'm saying? I'm beyond what they think. You know, you go back and listen to all my old stuff. You listen to my new slaps right now. Rule of thumb, you understand. Mm-hmm. I'm the epitome of mob music. I've been in every era, from the, you understand me, the black fist in the air with the African medallion in mm-hmm. the late '80s to, you understand, to the mob music era, to the G funk, to the South music with Cash Money and A Bar and MJG and all these cats. You understand me, Master P. I'm the hyphy movement. I'm just everything all in one.
You think with them celebrating 50 years of hip hop, they celebrated you the right way?
Yeah, I was part of a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I was part of all day. They invited me to pretty much everything.
You think they celebrated the Beta right way?
I think they reached out to me and Short was there.
Yeah.
And they reached out to Hammer. Hammer already said he you know, a lot of them reached out to him. People didn't know that, but you know, Hammer chose to do what Hammer do. He the OG. I got nothing but love for him. You know, Hammer wasn't even tripping. I don't know why, but I didn't ask him. But that's my big bro.
You know what's interesting when you say about how you've been able to transcend through every genre? It's because your flow and rhymes have always been so unorthodox, they don't fit a time period anyway.
Absolutely. There's no time limit. That's real, bro.
And nobody could bite it.
Nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm going to do when I get in the vocal booth. I don't know what pattern I'm going to do. I don't know none of that. I just do it. I'm a professional beat picker, mm-hmm. and I know I'm ahead of my time. You know, because I like to do things that's innovating. I like to do what everybody else don't. Even my slaps, I like them to be up-tempo. I like them to be slow. I do it all. So I love to talk about the hard times, the struggle, climb up the ladder, trying to climb up the ladder and climb up and you know, get over the fence of the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we all work hard for, is to, you know, provide our family with a better life.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between E-40 that did Federal and E-40 that did Rule of Thumb?
The difference between E-40 that did Federal and the E-40 that did Rule of Thumb is now the things I would have said back then, I think things out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like back then, I was just a young, hard-headed, mannish little dude. You know what I'm saying? Just spitting what I spit. Now, I'm more of a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I did talk about like trigger play and sliding, and, you know what I'm saying, and all that whole spinning the block and all that stuff, it was never like
glorifying it.
It was never glorifying. It was I'm a storyteller. I'm a poet. I got a verbal paintbrush. I paint pictures with my lyrics. So that's one thing I've always did. And I talk about the consequences and repercussions about the situation. A lot of cats don't. You know what I mean? If you do this, this could happen. You can lose a loved one. You know, they go take it out on somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is how this thing goes. Mm-hmm. I spit all that.
You know, we had Coco Jones up here one time, and she was talking about one of the first times she ran into you. You remember?
I saw Busta Rhymes.
Oh, no.
Oh, so boy. I go up to him and I was like, oh my gosh, like you had just seen my cover, my freestyle of your thingy bob on Wildin' Out.
Uh-oh.
And he was like, yeah.
Busta Rhymes wasn't at the Rock Nation.
Listen. I was like, remember? I was like, because I'm feeling like I'm running and I'm feeling like I got to get away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's good, Shawty, that's good. I was like, all right. I walk away and I'm talking to my manager. I said, Busta Rhymes, who was that?
He doesn't have dreads anymore.
My manager goes, girl, that's E-40.
No.
I was like, oh, no.
I don't remember, bro.
All right. Well,
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't drunk. She said at the Rock Nation, right?
Rock Nation brunch. She said she walked up to you and she just started rapping Busta Rhymes.
I don't. I just. Because I seen her saying something about
She said, I said, shorty? Was it shorty? I don't even, that ain't even in my vocabulary.
That's too basic for
Yeah, that's 40. Too basic for 40 water. That ain't in my, you know what I'm saying? I'll say something way slicker than that. So, you know, maybe she was just, I don't know, maybe she thought I was somebody else. I don't know. Because me and Busta, we rap different. We two of the most creative rappers on earth. And, you know, maybe she thought that or something, but we don't look alike or nothing, you know, but that's my guy, you know. But I don't recall that. But hey, it is what it is. It's, you know, everybody don't know me. Because I've been around, like I say, ever since, you know, Yogi Bear was a teddy bear. You know, the late 80s, you feel me? And so, you know, maybe she didn't know me really. You know, I don't get offended. It's gravity.
Now, I got to ask, these one-liners that you have, 40, do you write them down? Because you have a one-liner for everything. I swear, you must, if you had to count how many one-liners you do, it has to be thousands a day.
I just got memory like a spelling bee.
See?
You see what I'm saying?
Like, you don't write them down or nothing? You just...
I just, you know, log it in, you know.
I heard porcupine spawn. I heard something like a tadpole this morning. I said he was young as a mustache. I just heard so many.
I got like, plenty. If you sit down with me, man, you hear a whole bunch of stuff. It just come out natural like an afro.
But we appreciate you for joining
Always
us.
Always a pleasure,
the Spoon,
man.
The book is out right now. Of
Rule
course,
of Thumb will be
the
out.
The album Rule of Thumb
Rule
is out
thumb,
right now.
Man, yeah, 23 slaps back to back. Stop playing with water.
E40. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Positive note is simply this, man. Be careful what you wish for others, because it just might get to you, all right? To wish bad things for somebody else is actually like looking for something bad to happen to you, because when you wish bad karma on somebody else, you bring bad karma on yourself, okay? You are consuming and bringing in negative vibes into your life. Instead, be the person you wish they were. Be the person who brings only positive thoughts and good vibes into their own life, because being negative yourself will only bring negative into your life. Don't poison yourself hoping somebody else will die, all right?
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.